KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have partly sunny skies here at the KJN studios and looking for a high temperature here today of around 90 degrees with early morning chance we had of some isolated showers, but that mostly dissipated throughout the area. And tonight, partly cloudy, low around 68 expected. Here this morning, we have partly sunny skies, now up to 72 degrees here at the KJN studios. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. The Red Oak Police Department responded to a single vehicle accident on Sunday evening. At 5:30 p.m., officers were called to the intersection of North 4th Street and Joy Street. After investigation, it was determined that a 2007 Jeep Compass driven by 26-year-old Alexander Warren Wichman of Council Bluffs was traveling northbound on North 4th Street and became distracted and drove off the roadway. The Jeep struck a utility pole owned by MidAmerican Energy. Wichman was uninjured in the crash. The Jeep sustained an estimated $5,000 damage. The utility pole sustained $500 damage. Wichman was cited for failure to maintain control. More charges could follow pending further investigation. Red Oak Police were assisted at the scene by Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and the Red Oak Fire Department. The Creston Police Department reports four arrests over the weekend. On Friday at 10:43 a.m., Creston Police arrested 31-year-old Stephen Baylors of Creston at his residence on a charge of domestic abuse assault by strangulation. He was being held in the Union County Jail awaiting transport to Polk County for a warrant for violation of parole. Also on Friday morning at 8:29 a.m., Creston Police arrested 47-year-old Sean Connolly of Creston on a charge of driving while barred. She was released at the scene on a summons to appear. On Saturday at 3:21 p.m., officers arrested 48-year-old Brock Barrett of Creston at his residence on the charge of domestic abuse assault impeding blood or airflow. He was being held in the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. And also on Saturday at 8:55 p.m., Creston Police arrested Elizabeth Clayton of Lenox at the Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for violation of pretrial release. She was held in the Adams County Jail on $10,000 bond. Iowa Republican Senator Joni Ernst from Red Oak paid visit to Rex Pharmacy in Atlantic on Saturday afternoon as part of her 99-county tour for 2020. Ernst said she learned about how Rex Pharmacy has adapted to serve the community in the area in the age of COVID.
How they are delivering for their clients and their patients and making sure that they are adjusting to the COVID dynamics, which has been actually, I think, very good for them and the patients here in Cass County and surrounding areas. So really glad to hear what's going on here, but they still have a number of challenges that they outlined for me. Of course, the cost of prescription drugs, we've got to get a handle on that. And then some of the waste that we see through the mail order drugs, we've got to stop that too.
Cass County Supervisor Mark O'Brien, who owns a construction company, stopped by during Ernst's visit and asked what the odds are of the new $600 per week paycheck protection program being extended in the next COVID-19 stimulus package. Ernst said, "We don't want it to go on to the next one because what we see here in Iowa is that we have employers that are opening up and they can't get their people to come back to work." O'Brien says he has seen that happen with his own business.
When it very first started, my employees came to me and didn't want to come back to work, because they said we can make 70% of our wage plus a $600 bonus a week. Yeah. So I applied for the PPP program, mm-hmm. and I paid all my employees a $600 bonus per week for 8 weeks. Wow. Okay, and that ran out yesterday.
He says if the PPP continues, he's in trouble. The deadline to qualify for forgiveness and funds is June 30th. If approved, the funds could be used to cover costs over the next 24 weeks or until December 31st, whichever is earlier. Previously, the program covered 8 weeks, and you can learn more about that program. There's a link on this story on our news page. Ernst says the economy would be damaged if the plan is continued, and she will be a no vote.
I'm okay saying no, because it's everybody else that's gone back to work that's paying for that additional $600 every week. And so, and there are a lot more people that are now going back to work. If they understand that, you know, the House package that they just, the HEROES Act, was another $3 trillion.
Yeah.
And that means the folks that are working are going to be paying that $3 trillion. And when you kind of walk folks through that, they get it. You know, we have an opportunity to open the economy back up. We should be doing that.
Earn said the next package she and Senator Grassley will focus on is specific COVID-19 areas, not bailing out large cities, etc. That process is expected to begin in mid-July or early August. When asked if state officials around the country relax restrictions too soon in light of a resurgence in the virus in some areas, Earn said the increase in case positive is not necessarily due to an upsurge in cases.
COVID is out there already. We know that and understand that. A lot of people are asymptomatic. I think what we're seeing as far as higher numbers is not necessarily that we have higher numbers of COVID than we have in the past. It's just that we're detecting it now. That's a good thing, though, to understand who has it so we can make sure that they're protecting themselves and others.
She said the country can make it through the pandemic if everyone does their part to stay safe.
I think we are in a period of recovery, but the important thing, though, is to remember to do it safely and do what you are comfortable with. If you know that you have an underlying health condition, certainly take the measures to protect yourself. But let's get our economy up and going again safely.
Again, those comments made here in Atlantic on Saturday. The Republican-led Iowa House has voted to establish a 24-hour waiting period for abortions performed in the state. 2 years ago, the Iowa Supreme Court ruled a 72-hour waiting period was unconstitutional. During debate late Saturday night, Representative Shannon Lundgren of Peosta made it clear that Republicans aim for this new proposal to reverse that.
And maybe this will provide an opportunity for the courts to rectify the terrible situation that they've created here in our state.
Representative Sandy Salmon, a Republican from Janesville, says 17 other states have 24-hour waiting periods for an abortion.
Waiting periods help ensure that decisions are made not under duress and not under undue influences.
The proposal requires a doctor to get written certification from a woman that she is eligible to obtain an abortion. It passed with the support of 52 House Republicans and one Democrat. Other Democrats in the House opposed the move. Representative Vicki Lensing, a Democrat from Iowa City, says legislators shouldn't second-guess the medical decisions women make.
It is presumptuous, disrespectful, and in my opinion, insulting.
And Representative Heather Mattson, a Democrat from Ankeny, says requiring two medical appointments within 24 hours creates hardships for poor women and for women from rural areas who have to travel greater distance.
The intent of a 24-hour ban is the same as the 72-hour ban. Make it harder for a woman to get the care she needs, and she just won't get it.
The bill now goes to the Senate for a vote. A trio of local school boards will hold their respective separate meetings here this evening. The Grizzled School Board meeting begins at 5:30 p.m. in the elementary school building. The Exira EHK Board will meet at 6 p.m. in the conference room at the Elkhorn Building. And the CAM School Board will meet at 6:30 p.m. this evening in the CAM High School Superintendent's Office. The Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department Board of Directors will hold one more electronic meeting this evening. That session takes place by Zoom, beginning at 5:15 p.m. On their agenda is an update on COVID-19 and related matters, an update discussion with regard to community gardens, the Shelburne Campground, pool painting, and fireworks. The board will also discuss a request for a proposal for a new mower. And in his report, Parks Director Bryant Rasmussen will talk about a number of issues, including some nest boxes, an Eagle Scout project, mulch in the city park, and Shelburne flower beds, along with some other matters. And the delegates to this weekend's state conventions for Iowa's two major political parties participated remotely rather than in person. Iowa Republican Party delegates are casting their paper ballots to conduct party business, with results to be announced later this month. The Iowa Democratic Party used online voting and paper ballots and announced its final slate of national convention delegates on Saturday. Iowa Democratic Party Chairman Mark Smith says having hundreds gather in person for a state convention just wasn't feasible in a pandemic. State conventions serve as a kickoff for the general election campaign, giving activists a chance to hear directly from their party's candidates and office holders. Governor Kim Reynolds recorded a video message as well for her fellow Republicans. That's a look at some of the latest in state and area news. Now taking a look at some of the latest world news headlines here at this hour. African Americans are disproportionately likely to say a family member or a close friend has died of COVID-19 or respiratory illness since March. 11% of African Americans say they were close with someone who has died, compared with 5% of Americans overall and 4% of white Americans. That's according to an analysis of three COVID impact surveys conducted between April and June. The polls also show the racial gap is equally striking in some cities and states hit especially hard by the virus. In Louisiana, for example, 16% of black adults are close with someone who has died, compared with 6% of white adults. A grim blame game with partisan overtones is breaking out over COVID-19 deaths among nursing home residents. There are a tiny slice of the population, but a shockingly high proportion of Americans who have perished in the pandemic. The Trump administration points to facilities with low federal ratings for infection control and to some Democratic governors who required nursing homes to take recovering coronavirus patients. But some academic researchers say they found no link between low marks on the government's nursing home ratings and outbreaks. And advocates for the elderly say the government hasn't provided needed virus testing and protective gear. Many European countries are reopening borders to each other after 3 months of coronavirus closures, restoring freedom of movement that was interrupted abruptly in March. But some restrictions persist, and it's unclear how to keep Europeans or how keen Europeans will be to travel this summer. The continent is still mostly closed to Americans, Asians, and other international tourists. Border checks were dropped overnight Monday in Germany, France, and elsewhere, nearly 2 weeks after Italy opened its frontiers. Countries in the European Union and a few non-EU nations, such as Switzerland, aren't expected to start opening to international visitors until at least next month. Even inside Europe, there is caution after more than 182,000 virus-linked deaths. That's a look at some of the latest in news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Charlotte Mary Bierbaum, age 65, of Griswold, died June 8th at home. Funeral services for Charlotte Bierbaum will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. CDC guidelines will be enforced, and the families request that anyone attending wear a face mask. Forrest Woody Grugan, age 74, of Brayton, died June 1st at his home in rural Brayton. A Celebration of Life Memorial Graveside Service for Forrest Woody Grugan will be held today at 11 a.m. in the Iowa Veterans Cemetery in Adel. Kessler Funeral Home Ottoman has arrangements. Rosemary Davidson, age 81, of Seymour, Indiana, and formerly of Atlantic, died June 6th in Seymour. Funeral services for Rosemary Davidson will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. in the First Lutheran Church south of Wyota. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Daryl Fredrickson, age 90, of Elkhorn, died Friday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Graveside funeral services for Daryl Fredrickson will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Cemetery. OD Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. Dr. Carrie Souser, age 72, of Atlantic, died April 6th at the Angel Bright Hospice in Corpus Christi, Texas. A massive Christian burial for Dr. Carrie Souser will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic has arrangements. Robert Bob Scheel, age 80, of Harlan, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for Robert Bob Scheel will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Angela Page, age 33, of Creston, died Thursday at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of Life Memorial's service for Angela Page will be held on Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. at the Powers Funeral Home in Creston. Alice B. Leyland, age 96, of Atlantic, died November 14th at Atlantic Specialty Care. Graveside memorial services for Alice B. Leyland will be held on Friday at 10 a.m. at the Atlantic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Dale Killian, age 97, of Orient, died Thursday at the Greater Regional Health Center in Creston. A public graveside service for Dale Killian will be held at the Greenfield Cemetery in Greenfield on Friday at 11 a.m. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. And Larry Van Horn, age 77, of Guthrie Center, died Thursday at home. Graveside services for Larry Van Horn will be held on June 20th at 2 p.m. in the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Tweaked Funeral Home Guthrie Center has the arrangements. That's your news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.